Senator Corcoran, members of the committee, House Bill 2401 allows the Public Employees Retirement Board to deduct the costs incurred in locating former members of the Public Employees Retirement System from the amounts in the account of the former member.
Thank you. Mr. Delaney, why don't you come up for just a moment, please? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Senator Minnis.
Would you please tell the good Vice Chair and me why this is such a good idea?
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, for the record, my name is Steve Delaney, PERS legislative liaison. House Bill 2401 allows PERS to recoup administrative costs for special requests made by members that would not normally be done during the day-to-day business of PERS. It was an issue that the PERS board had looked into at the request of the Ways and Means General Government Subcommittee from the last session. The board began looking at this issue, was asked by that committee to identify areas where administrative fees could be collected. There are a number of them cited within this bill. This bill, in fact, comes originally from the PERS board itself, which identified some issues, had legislation crafted, and was prepared to come forward to ask for permission to charge these fees, but was not introduced by at the request of governor's office. They didn't want to sort of muddy the waters during a time when the legislature was dealing with so many other PERS issues by introducing a number of fairly inconsequential in comparison bills by the PERS board. But the governor's office had not been opposed to their being introduced by other parties. In fact, this was eventually introduced by the House Interim Task Force on PERS.
Mr. Delaney, I understand this bill really struggled through the House 57 to nothing, so there isn't any opposition to this, I take it?
Not that I am aware of, Senator Corcoran.
Thank you.
Okay.
Senator Minnis.
Well, how are you guys planning on identifying these people? Do you have a plan?
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, we don't have a plan at the moment, as it were. We were looking first for the authority, and then we begin undertaking the task. We do know which accounts are in loss of membership, that is, no longer accrue and should be paid out to the member. We have approximately 17,000 of those. What our plan would involve is trying to find these people so that we could pay them out. Up to this point, we have relied upon publishing lists within the membership newsletters of monies unclaimed, but have not made any special effort to try to perhaps hire with third-party administrators to locate these people because of the cost that would have been involved.
You know, just as a suggestion, and I obviously, I don't know that it would be proper for me to suggest a particular firm or not, but there are firms out there, air search firms, that do this kind of thing, but they'll charge anywhere from 30 to 50% of the proceeds, which is not necessarily in the best interest, but there are other firms out there, and I know the Oregon Collectors Association, in the form of Mr. Marquis. And there was actually a company that was organized by a couple of retired FBI agents that I think did a demonstration project for the Department of Revenue in identifying individuals and finding individuals. And you might check with Mr. Markey and see if that particular vendor or if he's got suggestions for others that might help. But rather than just trying to do it ourselves, like picking up the phone book and looking through it, there are other ways to do it. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. We need a quorum.
I know. Well, I'm going to close the public hearing on 2401, and I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3581, and then we'll go back to work sessions on these as soon as we get a quorum. We're awaiting Senator Carter, so why don't you hold up for just a moment, please? Oh, we have Representative Fitz here. Why don't you come on up, Representative? Welcome to this committee of two. Are you here for anything there, oh, most important person in the building?
Last
week. Oh. Okay. Oh,
this is not over.
Oh, Senator Peon, what can we do for you? They sent someone down for Senator Carter. Go ahead, Representative Kitts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Derek Kitt, State Representative for House District 30. Just wanted to come before you to testify, obviously, for the record, in support of House Bill 3581. Extend some support to my good friend Stan Pulliam, who's going to be testifying before you today as well. Obviously, it's a very simple. It came out of the House 59. I think it's the single highest vote gatherer of any bill that we heard over in the House. It was 59 affirmative and nobody opposed to the bill. Again, just for the record, we support this bill. It's a great bill. Big time wrestling does not need to be regulated. It's entertainment, pure entertainment only. And with that, that'll do it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do you have any questions, Senator Minnis?
He doesn't.
I don't. No. You don't. See, I could read your mind. And I know Senator Walker is a big fan of mud wrestling, but she will go ahead and pass
don't
on this.
Get her started.
I will not get her started.
See what she does in judiciary.
Okay.
With that, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Pulliam.
Chairman Corcoran, members of the Senate General Government Committee, I'll be submitting a testimony for Representative Tootie Smith, who's sponsoring House Bill 3581. House Bill 3581 came out of the House General Government Committee with a 7-0 pass recommendation and off the House floor with a vote of 59-0. HB 3581 deregulates entertainment wrestling and puts the industry in line with 49 other states. Currently, the state of Oregon, wrestling is regulated like a sport. This change will bring jobs to Portland and money to the state of Oregon. The entertainment wrestling industry is regulated in a manner that has made it impossible for the industry to conduct business within the state of Oregon. According to J.E. Isaac, Senior Vice President of Business Affairs for Oregon Arena Corporation, which oversees Rose Garden events, the best projection of the economic impact of World Wrestling Entertainment, Inc. to the state of Oregon would be at least $15 million annually at the current 6% license fee and the $1,600,000 in total ticket sales at the Rose Garden. The state would receive $192,000 in direct revenue, with $144,000 going to the Children's Trust Fund subaccount, plus local taxes, increased restaurant and vendor traffic, and at least 200 jobs per event for setup. It's possible that Portland could host more than 4 events a year. I think it's also worth noting that WWE has tentatively put a hold on the Rose Garden for May 31st, thus showing their interest in coming to the state if House Bill 3581 passes. This bill defines professional wrestling as entertainment, not a sport. Entertainment wrestling has predetermined outcomes, with its performance as scripted, and therefore should be treated as other entertainment industries. With this new definition, Oregon will be open for business for the wrestling industry. The commission, along with the wrestlers and promoters for the industry, all fully support 3581.
You did a very good job, Mr. Pulliam.
Thank
We'd
you.
Like to get this thing passed. Now, Senator Carter is just edging up here. She wants to arm wrestle.
Let me move out of the way.
Senator Walker.
I'll be here for questions, too.
Hi, Rumi.
Come on up, Senator Carter. I want to see this arm wrestling.
She's burned her again.
You know, I am shocked. You know, this is like gambling in Casablanca. This bill defines professional wrestling as entertainment, not as sport.
Yeah.
Welcome, Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
How are things in Ways and Means?
Really well. Margaret Carter, House District 22 before your committee. And I'm here for more and more entertainment, Mr. Chairman. Let's talk economic development. Let's talk entertainment. Let's talk some sports. Let's talk anything that is of good and something that is positive that could come to our state in terms of this form of entertainment. I'm there, rah, 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 girl on the front seat. We should...
Rah-rah girl
on the front seat. You heard it right here. Right here in this committee.
Are you trying to get us to let you carry this
bill? I'm trying to get you to not only let me carry this bill. That's right. Thumbs up. Big time.
You notice he only has 3 fingers.
Big thumbs up. I didn't do Mr. Chairman, listen. All of you guys use wisdom and pass this bill out of here so it can go to the floor so it can be here before the spring is over.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator.
Does this mean we have to watch it at our apartment now?
It certainly does. That's right. On your favorite TV in your home.
Would I like to abstain from the personal stuff here in the building, please? Thank you, Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You were wonderful.
And I'm sure wisdom will prevail here. Thank you.
Yes, at least two out of the three people here are wise. Jim Cassidy, you don't have anything to add to this, do you? I didn't think so. All right, we'll close the works, public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3581. Senator Menas?
I'd like to move House Bill 3581 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Menas moves House Bill 3581A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Gravel, will you call the roll?
Walker?
Aye.
Vice Chairman?
Aye.
Chair Colson? Aye. House Bill 3581 goes to the floor with the due pass, and we will have Senator Carter carry it. She's not in the room. She can handle it. Thank you very much. Close that work session, and let's open a work session on House Bill 2401. Senator Walker, before you got here, we heard testimony on House Bill 2401, which allows the PERS to deduct costs incurred in locating former members from amounts in the account of the former member, and it passed swimmingly in the House and has no opposition over here. Are you okay with it?
Is this to find lost members who they need to see if they want to do the deal that we just rolled out here the other day, or just for any reason?
Mr. Delaney, it's so nice to see your smiling face.
Does this have anything to do with Senator Farioli's bill is what I was questioning.
Senator Corcoran, Senator Walker, again for the record, Steve Delaney Purs. No, these are loss of membership accounts. People have been gone for more than 5 years where their dollars are no longer drawing interest and should actually be delivered to the individuals, but we don't know where they are. This is to give us an opportunity to pursue trying to find these people so we can pay out their money and charge a fee for trying to find them.
So, Senator? Respecting Senator Walker's question, plan for Senator Farioli's bill because they're kind of in the same boat.
Senator Corcoran, Senator Menas, for Senator Farioli's bill, that deals with people who have not yet gone into loss of membership. So we are not actively pursuing those folks as much as we will advertise the outcome of the bill and let members know, inactive members, because that's who would be eligible for this, inactive members know through our newsletters that if they want to draw out their account and get 150%, which is the Farioli bill, right, they could do so. These people would not be eligible for that. These are loss of membership individuals who would not be eligible to draw that.
That's probably a good training ground for you anyway. All right.
In other words, they'd only get their own contribution.
And the earnings up to, for those 5 years prior to its entering loss of membership.
Correct. Okay. Any other questions?
Just one. We're talking about reasonable costs, administrative costs. Do you do like, we look for lost heirs. Do you hire companies that charge a fee, or do you do it yourself?
Chair Corcoran, Senator Walker, actually, that is one of the issues that we're going to have to look into. Up to this point, we have not done that because there would be a cost involved in trying to hire some other individuals. Up to this point, in the past, PERS has published the names of the individuals in our newsletters, but it was kind of hit and miss whether anyone got such a newsletter because we don't have the addresses for these individuals. This would allow us to be able to charge the fee for contracting with some kind of company such as that and have them assist in locating these individuals.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would say that the testimony we had in judiciary shows that those fees are all over the map, so, and they're not regulated. So I just caution you to talk to the Division of State Lands about how they locate heirs who are missing.
Sure. Thank you, Senator. Are we ready to move this bill?
Yes.
Okay. A motion, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move House Bill 2401 unamended before the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Menas moves House Bill 2401 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Gravel, will you call the roll, please?
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Vice Chairman?
Aye.
Chair Corcoran?
Aye. House Bill 2401 will go to the floor with a due pass. I guess I'll carry that. That's kind of my meaningless bill. I'll do the meaningless ones. Okay.
I can whisper in your ear on the floor.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2401, and we'll open a work session on House Bill 2818. Could you tell us what that does, Mark, please?
Chair Corcoran and members of the committee, Senate Bill 2818 exempts special districts that is annexing a city at request of that city from the election requirement. of annexation procedure if certain conditions exist. We're bringing this back to consider an amendment that everyone should have that changes the percent required from 10 to 20%.
Okay. Who do we have to talk about this? Let me guess. Come on up, Burton. Genoa. Oh, and what about the reconsideration on 3419? Oh, that's Wednesday. Okay.
This is Wednesday.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chair, Burton Weiss, Special Districts Association of Oregon, and Genoa Ingram from the Fire District Directors Association. You'll recall we had the hearing on the bill. The bill passed 58-0 on the House side. All this does is it relieves the election requirement for the district, does not relieve the election requirement for the city being annexed, and all this does is make the law for cities and districts the same when they're annexing each other. The amendment we had in the original bill, we had 10% as the number of if the city was 10% or less of the district, this requirement would be imposed. As we mentioned to you, we became aware of several other cities such as Milwaukee and Clackamas Fire District 1 where the percentage was a little higher, so we asked the committee if we could amend it to 20%, and at that time the committee was agreeable to doing that and sent us off to get the amendments.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Menace.
I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments.
Senator Menace moves the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments. So what I'm noticing here is that this refers to 20% of the electors, not to the town being 10% of the population of the district.
No, it does. It would change it now that this exemption from the election in the district would apply if the city is 20% or less of the size of the district.
Well, that's not what this amendment does, unless I'm looking at the wrong bill.
Let's see.
It says in line 15, delete 10 and insert 20. Line 15 has to do with the percent of electors, not the percent of the population of the district. That's line 13.
Let me look at the bill real quick here.
Maybe I'm not looking. Maybe there's a gross version of the bill or something.
Let's look here. I admitted I only saw the 10 and the 20. That's what I looked at. Okay, line 15. That is correct. They have amended it in the wrong place. It should have been line 13.
Do you want to do a conceptual amendment and get in trouble, or should we send them back?
I move to suspend the rules for the purpose of adopting a conceptual amendment.
Senator Menace moves to suspend the rules to adopt a conceptual amendment to House Bill 2818. Any objections? Seeing none, rules are suspended. Senator Menace?
Mr. Chairman, I move that on line 13 of House Bill 2818, after the word than, delete the number 10 and insert the number 20.
Thank you. In line 13 of the printed bill, delete.
After the word then, delete the number 10 and insert the number 20. So that would then read the population of the city is less than.
Okay.
20% population. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Less than.
Okay. Senator Menace moves, just one more time for the record, that a conceptual amendment be adopted, and that on line 13, page 1, after the word than, delete 10 and insert 20, so that it would read the population of the city is less than 20% of the population of the district or.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
You were procedurally correct. Since I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment, you accept that as a friendly amendment to my original motion, or substitution to my original motion.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I have to ask that?
No, just say yes, that's all.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay.
We've accepted it.
Any discussion? Let's see. Then the amendment is adopted. Senator Menace?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2818 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Menace moves House Bill 2818 as conceptually amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Gravel, will you please call the roll?
Senator Swally?
Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Minnis?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. House Bill 2818 is with amendment to the floor with due pass. How's the contest going?
She's way ahead.
Okay, Senator Starr, I'd be happy to have you carry this. What is the score?
I was about 8 ahead.
Yeah, 8 ahead, see? That's a lot more than
that. Oh, you're going to be carrying a lot of
but
bills.
But carried one today.
Senator Starr. All right, we will close the work session on House Bill 2818 and open a work session on House Bill 2227A. Why don't you tell us what that does, and then we have to have a motion for reconsideration in this particular one.
Okay. Chair Corcoran, members of the committee, House Bill 2227 allows water utilities serving fewer than 500 customers to elect to be subject to financial regulation by the PUC. It permits the PUC to allow water utility rates to include costs for specific improvements and specifies penalties. And what we're doing here, we have a conflict. And we have an amendment that resolves the conflicts with the House Bill 2226.
Okay, and
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
haven't we reported this bill to the floor already?
We did. It's my understanding that we are to suspend the rules to move for reconsideration. Let the bill be brought back to committee for reconsideration.
So moved.
So moved. All right. The vice chair, accompanied by one of the members, has moved that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsideration of House Bill 2227A. Any discussion? Seeing none. Any objection? Seeing none. So ordered. Senator Menace will now move that. What do we need to do here, Mark?
To amend that, is that correct or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Move the adoption of the A2 amendment.
Senator Menace moves the adoption of the A2 amendments to House Bill 2227. Any objection? Seeing none. Senator Menace. Motion passes. Senator Menace moves House Bill 2227 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Gravel, will you call the roll?
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Vice Chair?
Aye.
Aye. House Bill 2227A to the floor with a due pass. Senator Starr has got to desperately catch up to Senator Walker. He will carry it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we are adjourned.
Did you move the rest of the ball?
Yes.